Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopichana Balaba Tiribhadu Dhauti Gopichana Malaba Giribhadu Dhauti Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopijana Malaba Kiribharadhauti Gopijana Malaba Kiribharadhauti Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Otho Tata Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Savaya Charanada Maktapananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai Prem se go Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Go Bhakta Vrindakijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Go Pikavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Shimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samabheda Bhakta Vrindakijai Go Primananda Hari Hari Bhakti All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari Hari Bol. So, Om Ganata Mananda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam. Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, we are going to speak about Raghunath Das Goswami and the Panihati Festival. This is a very wonderful festival. And the reason we're talking about a festival of chip rice and yogurt, chip rice and condensed milk, is because this festival illustrates the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master. He is non-different from Balaram. And it's described, without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, no one can make any spiritual advancement. Nayamatva valahinina labdwa. And so the spiritual master represents Lord Nityananda. And there's many prayers to Lord Nityananda, one of which we chanted this morning, Nithai Padakalam Kamala, Koti Chandri Sushitala, that the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Kota Chandra are like millions of moons. In other words, they have very cooling effect, cooling down the fire of material existence. And there's many other verses. Heno Nitai Vine Bhai Radha Krishna Poite Nai. That without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, no one can understand Radha and Krishna. So, let's talk about Raghunath Das Goswami, who is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who achieved Lord Nityananda's mercy at the Panihati festival. So, let's mention a little bit about Raghunath Das Goswami and what his main, let's say, lesson is to all of us. And his main lesson is what's called prayojana. Now, that's a fancy word, which means the goal of Krishna consciousness, always being absorbed in Radha and Krishna's pastimes and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and being completely detached from this world. Therefore, he's considered the acharya of this ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. The other two, let's say, goals of Krishna consciousness are called Sambandha and Abhideya. And the acharyas of each one of those is, let's say, Sambandha, Sanatana Goswami, and Abhideya is Rupa Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami teaches us the basic philosophy. Of course, he teaches a lot more than that, but generally they're considered the acharyas of those particular branches of Krishna consciousness. And then we have Rupa Goswami, who teaches us how to practice devotional service, the different stages, the emotions, pure devotional service. Basically, an analysis of the practice up to the stage of love of God. And Raghunath Das Goswami is the acharya of, you know, what happens in the spiritual world, the achievement of prema. And let's hear a little bit about his history. So Raghunath Das Goswami is a very interesting person for many reasons. One reason is that he became extremely renowned, and he was from a extremely wealthy family. I mean, we're talking like billionaires, like Bill Gates types of people. And of course, they were devotees. His father was a great devotee, and his uncle was a great devotee, but they weren't what is called Nishkam devotees. Now, we talked about this last night. A very nice question was asked about this. There were Sakama devotees. They were devotees who had Krishna consciousness, but really they just wanted, not just, but you know, it was a mixture, but they had a lot of desire to enjoy the material world. And later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami in rather uncomplimentary words. He actually called them, I don't know if I should mention, worms and stool. Well, the reason he called them worms and stool is not because he was trying to denigrate them. He was trying to illustrate the point that sometimes we understand Krishna consciousness perfectly, but we just don't get the point that this material world is not a happy place. And we keep trying and trying and trying and trying. And as the song goes, we can't get no satisfaction. Or, as Prahlad Maharaj says in a more Vedic way, punak punas charvita charvananam. We keep chewing the already chewed, and it doesn't have any more sugar in it or any more taste to it. So we keep trying, hope against hope. So, anyway, so his mother, his father and uncle were extremely wealthy, and they were very worried because Raghunath Das Goswami was influenced by another great devotee named Haridas Thakur. So they were very worried, our son is going to join the Krishna consciousness movement. I remember this is about 500 years ago. They were extremely worried about that. How can we keep him at home? Now, they couldn't tie him up with chains, but they picked something that was probably almost as good as chains. They found the most beautiful girl for him to marry, and they also gave him unlimited wealth. So, actually, we find in the Shikshashika this interesting verse, Nidanam Nijanam Nasundarim, that people are attracted to these things, you know, that attractive features and everything in this world that just like keeps one, it's like an anchor that keeps one from going anywhere. Like if you're rowing a boat, row, row, row your boat, and the boat doesn't go anywhere, and then you look back and the anchor is still in, not the water, but it's in the ground underneath the water. So anyway, his father and uncle were like that. So Raghunath Das Goswami went to Shantipur first. This is the first time he went to Shantipur, not the time he actually had the Chip Rice Festival. And he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him not to keep trying to run away from home, because he was running away from home in spite of all these different attractive things he had at home, you know, money, whatever he wanted. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, act like you're attached in spite of not being attached. And he gave the example, you know, act like someone who has a secret loving affair and doesn't want anyone to discover it. It's called paramour. Paro means transcendental, not transcendental, but other, amour, that's French, which means love. So, Lord Chaitanya advised them like that, just stay there, act normally. And he used that example of the paramour example, I said. And what happened is once upon a time, while he was acting normally, he saved his father and uncle from going to jail. How did he do that? Because his father and his uncle were tax collectors. At that time, in India, if someone was a tax collector, the tax collector would keep a certain portion of the taxes that they collected. This was a impetus so that they would collect a lot of taxes. But Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle collected too much. And there was a report made to one of the Muslims, who was called the Chaudhary. And what happened is they had an order out for the imprisonment of the father and uncle. The father and uncle managed to escape, but they captured Raghunath Das Goswami, or he was just simply Raghunath at that time, because he wasn't Goswami. They captured him, put him in prison, but Raghunath Das Goswami was, or Raghunath Das, was so expert, he was able to actually get out of jail without paying any money. He was expert in everything. So how he did that is that he sort of stimulated the sentiment in this Muslim guy who was keeping him in jail. He said, actually, my uncle and father are like your brothers. We're from the same village. We have a village relationship. Now, one has to understand what it means to grow up in a village. When you grow up in a village in India, traditionally, other people in the village would be considered one's cousins or brothers or aunts or uncles, even if they had no relationship to you, and even if they were of a different religion. So he appealed to the Muslim Chaudhary's sentiment by saying, you know, we're like your family members. And actually, he said, I will make a deal. You are like a saint, he said to the Muslim Chaudhary. You know all the Shastras. And so anyway, by praise, he got released, and he made a deal between his uncle and his father and this Muslim who had imprisoned him. And I guess they split the goods up. And that's the way it was done in those days. So everyone was happy with him. Ideal businessman, knew what he was doing. And so for 1 year, he just functioned as an ideal businessman. Then after that, he just like said, you know, I got to get out of here. So every day, basically, he tried to escape, but he was caught. And his mother said, why don't you just tie him with ropes? And his father said, what good would ropes do? his wife is like a heavenly angel, and he has opulences like Indra. Indra, of course, is one of the demigods, you know, very highly placed demigod, who has so much money. So, and his father said, who can keep a madman of Chaitanya Chandra? Wow. So, because when one takes up Krishna consciousness, one, it's not that you actually get mad, but you're just so much in love with Krishna. I mean, even in the material world, let's say a boy falls in love with a girl falls in love with a boy, it's hard to keep them separate. Actually, Chanaka Pandit says one who comes between a man and his wife, a wife and his her husband, becomes the enemy of both. So you just like step out of the way and pray for the best when you see something like that happening with people. So we've seen that many, many times. It is a fact. So he was in love with Krishna. Very nice. So that's the best person to be in love with. So later on, I think it was the next day or two, they let him visit this place called Pandihati. That's why it's called the Pandihati Festival. And of course, when he went, he was accompanied by guards and money, and so he couldn't escape at this particular point. So when he arrived in Pandihati, he saw Lord Nityananda. We mentioned that Lord Nityananda is Balaram, the original spiritual master. And Lord Nityananda is extremely funny and extremely merciful. So Lord Nityananda observed Raghunath, who didn't want to even come close to Lord Nityananda because he felt very humble. He said, I'm just a materialistic person. How can I approach Lord Nityananda? And Lord Nityananda was exhibiting a brilliance at that time, like thousands of suns. So he said to his associates, Lord Nityananda said to his associates, there is Raghunath Das, bring him here. So they dragged Raghunath Das to the feet of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda put his feet on Raghunath Das's head. Wow, what mercy. And then Lord Nityananda very jokingly said, you were a thief. And I've captured you, and I want to fine you for your crimes. You know, this is a joke, of course. You should feed all my associates yogurt and chip rice and condensed milk and chip rice. And so you should arrange, in other words, pay for the festival, because he was rich. Well, he had a lot of money at that time. So they arranged 400 large pots, and I'm not talking about little pots like that, you know, just really big pots. They have really big pots in India. And all the rice was first soaked in hot milk just to soften it up, because you don't put uncooked rice or like raw rice. You can't eat it. It's too hard. And once it was soaked and made soft, it was divided in half, this rice. And one half of the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. And one half of the rice was mixed with condensed milk and a special banana that you cannot find, I don't think you can find in America, called the Champakala. And it was mixed with sugar, ghee, camphor. And Lord Nityananda sat on a platform with all of his associates right by the bank of the river. And, of course, with Brahmanas and other important people. And they offered him and all of his associates two pots. And it was so crowded that some of the people who came to enjoy that particular festival had to go into the Ganges River. You know, they were like half submerged, eating their pots of yogurt and chip rice, or condensed milk and chip rice. And so Lord Nityananda was having this very big picnic, which we had today in New Goloka. Too bad some of you missed it. It was a really nice picnic. And so, anyway, this is to encourage you to come in the coming weeks, where we're going to have picnics. And this way we can observe social distancing, we can actually be outside so it's not dangerous, and everyone can associate with each other, and we're going to have it like in the middle of the day, so everyone will have time in a relaxed fashion to enjoy the company of everyone else at a social distance. So, So Lord Nityananda was sitting there enjoying this, and he was laughing. And one of his associates, Raghava Pandit, brought some food, other food, for Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda said, tonight I will eat at your place, but I belong to a community of coward boys, and we really enjoy picnics. So that's what we're going to have in Nukaloka from now on. It's not that we're all coward boys, but Lord Nityananda is Balaram. Balaram is a coward boy. Krishna is also a coward boy. So, Lord Nityananda made Raghava Pandit, who was offering him this food at that point, was going to invite him for dinner later on, sit down and eat. And Lord Nityananda, at that point, did something really amazing. With his devotion, he brought Lord Chaitanya there. And from each and every pot, Lord Nityananda fed a small amount of rice and chip rice and the yogurt or the condensed milk to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya also fed Lord Nityananda. Not that everybody saw that, but many of the devotees who had spiritual realization saw that. And then they both sat down and ate and enjoyed this particular picnic. And everyone was chanting in ecstasy. The statement was made by Lord Nityananda, all of you eat and chant Hari Hari. And they were remembering the coward boys and just enjoying life like that. So in Krishna consciousness, we can actually enjoy things like that. It's not just that we're austere, not just. We are not austere yogis. We're meant to just be regular human beings who are Krishna conscious. We cannot imitate Raghunath Das, especially the aspects of the story, which I'm going to tell in a few minutes. We cannot imitate that. We should enjoy ourselves in Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada said, the duty of the temple president, the duty of the leaders in the Krishna conscious movement to make sure everyone is joyful, blissful, and ecstatic, and also getting plenty of prasadam. So that's our duty. And, you know, I'm supposed to be the GBC, so that's my duty to make sure everyone is just very happy, jumping in ecstasy and having all their needs fulfilled. During this whole time, many shopkeepers came to sell their own goods, like other food. You know, you find that in India, you know, if you have a big festival, people will set up shops within 2 or 3 hours. And we're not talking about concrete and everything, shops like that. But shops with, you know, bamboo and some tarpaulin like that. And they came to sell everything. And it's interesting that, I definitely have to turn this off. People keep calling me. It is Bayer news. So, getting back to the point. We don't want to take phone calls. Let me turn this off too. It's very interesting that Raghunath Das bought everything from these shopkeepers and fed the shopkeepers with their own stuff, you know, that he bought from them. And then at the end of this festival, Lord Nityananda gave Raghunath Das his remnants. So this is very powerful. If you get the remnants of Lord Nityananda, the remnants of a pure devotee, it's enough to give you pure devotional service. It's called Maha Maha Prasadam. Like the food that we offer on the altar is called Prasad. And actually the direct food that comes off of the plate is called Maha Prasad. And the food that comes off the plate is given to a devotee, and then you get their remnants is called Maha Maha Prasad. Maha means, for those of you who don't know, it means great. So, then at the end of this festival, Lord Nityananda was given these betel nuts to chew on and flowers, and he distributed them and he gave to Raghunath Das, and Raghunath Das distributed everything to all of his associates who were with him, even the guards that were with him, making sure he could not escape. And that night, Lord Nityananda arranged for chanting and dancing practically the whole night at Raghava Pandit's temple. And they took again, prasadam. Lord Chaitanya also came and he was dancing. And very few people saw this. Of course, Lord Nityananda saw it, but only very few people were able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when it came time for the dinner, Lord Chaitanya came and sat on the right-hand side of Lord Nityananda. Raghava Pandit saw it. And Lord Nityananda said that Radharani has cooked in the kitchen of Raghava Pandit. And actually, Raghava Pandit in Krishna Leela is known as Dhanishta. Dhanishta, of course, is Krishna's cousin who arranges for so many arrangements between Radha and Krishna. And then Raghunath Das was given prasadam later, and he was told, if you eat the remnants of Lord Nityananda, you will be freed from all your entanglement. The next morning, after these two festivals were over, the Panihati festival and the dancing festival at Raghava Pandit's house, Raghava Pandit approached Lord Nityananda, and he prayed to Lord Nityananda, please let me get shelter at Lord Chaitanya's feet, because it is only by your mercy that I can approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Nityananda, in a way to praise the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he actually started talking about Raghava Pandit's opulence. He said, Raghava Pandit is so opulent, and he's ready to give it all up. This is evidence of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's not the saying that you should give everything up. This is a specific pastime. Don't worry. Don't think, you know, when you get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, just head for the hills, Govardhan Hill. So, and Srila Prabhupada also used to use the same technique when he was in India with his disciples, Western disciples who accompanied him to India. He would describe how wealthy they were, or how wealthy their family was before they came to Krishna consciousness, and they just didn't want anything to do with it, and they were ecstatic in spite of renouncing everything or not being interested in all the material allurements that were offered to them. So Prabhupada used that as a preaching tool to impress the people in India who were attracted and who are attracted to the Western opulent way of life. So Lord Nityananda asked all the Vaishnavas to bless Raghunath Das. And Lord Nityananda even gave the example of Bhart Maharaj, who just gave up everything, and he was the king, just to be Krishna conscious. And Lord Nityananda said that Lord Chaitanya came during the festival, which was the previous day, just to bless Raghunath Das. And Lord Nityananda said Raghunath Das would soon join Lord Chaitanya and be under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Whew, amazing. So, this actually came to be. So what happened is Raghunath Das went home. So the soldiers were there to protect him. You know, he wanted to run away like anything. But he didn't actually go into his house at that point. He stayed in what's called the Durga Mandap, which is like a little temple outside of the house. So while he was staying there one night, shortly thereafter, his guru, Yadu Nandana Acharya, came. It was the evening. And I guess everybody was sleeping. And Yadunandana Acharya came to Raghunath Das and he said, I have a problem. One of my disciples is not doing his deity worship. Can you please go and make sure he does his deity worship? And Raghunath Das said, sure, no problem. I can do it, so you just go home. So instead of doing that, he escaped from home. And of course, one may question, did he disobey the order of his spiritual master? No, because his spiritual master was in on the trick. His spiritual master wanted him to actually join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he escaped and he walked 30 miles the first night. Then, in spite of being a very wealthy person, not accustomed to austerities, he stayed the night in a cow shed. Whew. And it's not the most comfortable place to stay. And then after 12 days, he reached Puri, Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya was. And he had only gotten an opportunity to eat something for 3 days. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, Lord Chaitanya said, "Krishna is very merciful. He has delivered you from material life." He said, "It's just like when one leaves a latrine, he delivers you from material life." And then he made that comment, which I mentioned before, about the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. And as predicted by Lord Nityananda, Raghunath Das Goswami was placed under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami was sometimes known as the Raghu of Swarup. So here's the story of his extreme renunciation. So for the first 5 days, he was taking Lord Chaitanya's remnants. That's pretty nice. But on the sixth day, he thought, "This is too opulent for me. I am going to beg for my food and be dependent on Krishna." And Lord Chaitanya asked, "What happened with Raghunath Das? Why isn't he coming anymore to take the remnants?" And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "Well, he's begging instead." And Lord Chaitanya said something very interesting, that if a renunciate is very eager to taste different foods, that means a sannyasi, then his spiritual life is lost. And Prabhupada said that the Mahaprasadam is for the grihasthas. And the sannyasis, I mean, they can honor a little bit, but one has to be very, very careful when one's in the renounced order of life. As we'll hear the instruction later on that Raghunath Das Goswami gets about his duty in the renounced order of life. And here is the instruction. So Raghunath Das asked for instructions as to what his duty was, and Lord Chaitanya answered, "No gramya kata." That is, don't speak gramya kata, don't hear. Well, let's explain what gramya kata is. Ordinary village talk, you know, rumors, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I mean, obviously, we have to hear about the material world, know what's happening, practical stuff, but just like, don't waste your time in what's called prajalpa, unnecessary talk. And don't eat, this is for renunciates, so don't worry, doesn't refer to you, unless you're a sannyasi. Don't eat palatable foodstuffs. Don't dress opulently. Don't expect honor, but give honor to everyone. Always chant Hare Krishna, and in your mind, serve Radha and Krishna. So, that was the instruction given to Raghunath Das Goswami. Then Raghunath Das Goswami's father started to send many servants, and for 2 years he sent servants with money for Raghunath Das, which Raghunath Das did not accept for himself, but he used the money to prepare prasadam for Lord Chaitanya twice a month. Then, after doing that, he stopped doing it. And Lord Chaitanya asked, "Why has he stopped that?" And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Now I understand. Because one who accepts these sorts of things and becomes dependent on them, his mind becomes wicked from materialistic persons." So just like we were talking about what you eat, previous class we were talking about what you eat can influence your consciousness, influence your mind. So it's also when you accept things, because you become controlled like that. I mean, it's the need to become independent, to have autonomy, is a very strong need. And if one actually becomes controlled like a dancing dog by others offering money, by others offering things like that, and actually becomes dependent on those things, then one actually becomes controlled by the people. And if one becomes controlled by people who are materialistic, not so good. Okay? So, after this time, Raghunath Das's austerities became even more pronounced. Instead of begging, he went to the free prasadam kitchen, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised him for giving up the begging. He said, if you beg, or a person begs, he will actually see people in a discriminatory fashion. In other words, he will say, here comes someone who will give, I will bless him. Here comes someone who will not give, I will not bless him. So we want the mind to be equipoised. That is very important. So if one is begging, and also, I'm not saying we should beg, but this is what Raghunath Das was doing, then one will treat people differently according to whether they give something or not. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. He was just going to this kitchen for beggars where he could not discriminate between one person and another. Then Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Raghunath Das, he gave him a Govardhan Shila, which is like the Govardhan Shila that I worship, and Gunjamala. These are special beads, like red and white beads that grow in Vrindavan that represent Srimati Radharani. And this Govardhan Shila and the Gunjamala was worshipped by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like every day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take the Govardhan Shila, put it to his heart, touch it to his head, and even smell it, because it reminded him of Govardhan. That's how important Govardhan is. And of course, this illustrated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving Raghunath Das Goswami residence at Govardhan, and also the shelter of Srimati Radharani. So the stone that he gave him, the Govardhan Shila he gave him, was moist from the tears of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he told Raghunath Das that this Govardhan Shila is directly the body of Lord Krishna. You should worship this in goodness and offer water, bathe, and 8 manjaris every day. Manjaris are like the tulsi blossoms. You'd have to see it to understand what it is. But a tulsi manjari, they like 2 leaves on the side and the little blossom coming out there. So 8 every day. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't usually have that many here for my worship, and I try my best to get them every day, but we meditate on doing that. So, and after a while, Lord Chaitanya's servant, whose name was Govinda, was supplying sweetmeats, that means sweets, to offer to the deities, not for Raghunath Das Goswami. So he became even more, let's say, absorbed and otherworldly, absorbed in the spiritual realm in the service of Radha and Krishna and Giriraj. And he became so detached and so transcendental that he was only resting 1.5 hours daily, and sometimes not even that. So you may question, how can someone do that? Well, you need a transcendental body. Don't try to do that. You should rest whatever you need. Whatever you need, you can rest. It's important to get up early. It is very important to get up early, but if you have to rest again during the day because you got up early and didn't get enough sleep last night, it's fine. No problem with that. Prabhupada said, eat the needful amount and sleep the needful. No more, no less. And in the Gita, Krishna says, the yogi is he or she who does not eat too much, nor too little, or sleep too much, or sleep too little. Mityahara viharasha. He's moderate in his activities, or as Lord Buddha said, the middle path. So then Raghunath Das Goswami became more austere in his eating habits, unimaginable. He would take the decomposed rice that was thrown away near the Singhadwara gate, that means the lion gate, of the Jagannath temple. And this decomposed rice, even the cows wouldn't eat. And so he would take this rice, wash it out with fresh water, and put a little salt on it. And he was eating that. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, Lord Chaitanya came immediately and grabbed one morsel, and he took it. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate, Swarup Damodar Goswami, said, this is not fit for you. And Lord Chaitanya said, why is he keeping all this nice prasadam to himself? So one who has spiritual vision, they will see the remnants of Lord Jagannath as directly Krishna, as a manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll tell you an interesting, funny story I just heard in the Prabhupada Memories. Prabhupada one time instructed his servant to take his remnants, which everyone was fighting over, because there were a lot of nectarian things like sweets and fried foods, pakoras and gulab jamuns and everything like that, and just to mix them all together and see who wanted them. And the servant was shocked that the remnants weren't taken, or hardly taken at all, by the devotees, because they were interested in the taste rather than the point or the ecstasy that one would get directly eating the prasadam of, or the remnant prasadam of, a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. I remember when I fed Srila Prabhupada, when I gave him a fruit plate, and I ate even the grape stems and the orange rinds, and everything was on the plate, and I would have eaten the plate itself had it not been made of metal. I think that would have been very, very difficult. So then, so Raghunath lived in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya for longer than any of the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. So after some time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar Goswami, the associate of Lord Chaitanya, left this world. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he went to Braj, that's Vrindavan, with the intention of committing suicide, because he just was thinking, I cannot bear to live in this world without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he thought, I will commit suicide by jumping from Govardhan Hill. And actually, in the works of Srila Rupa Goswami, the Lalita Madhava, you actually see some of the gopis attempting that too. So this seems not, one should not do this, not recommended. And Raghunath Das was not allowed to do that, because when he arrived in Vrindavan, first of all, he was accepted by the other Goswamis, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, as their brother. And what they did to keep him from ending his life was they asked him to recite the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 3 hours every day, because he had more personal experience of those final pastimes, or the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri, than anyone else who was in Braj at that particular point. So he was able to really recount by memory the exquisite details of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And so this also inspired Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who lived right next to Raghunath Das Goswami, or did bhajan, let's say, next to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami got all this information, and he later compiled it into the exquisite Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's why we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because of Raghunath Das Goswami's mercy and his recitation. So he would generally reside at Radhakund. He was considered the acharya at Radhakund. Every day he would offer 1,000 obeisances to Krishna. He would chant 64 rounds, sometimes more. Of course, Haridas Thakur chanted a few more rounds than that, almost three times. He would bow to Vaishnavas 2,000 times a day. 22 hours a day he was practically engaged. And as I mentioned, he associated with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he was so austere that in the beginning he didn't build himself a little hut, what's called a bhajan kutir. It means a place that you do your chanting in. And so there was something that happened that forced Sanatan Goswami to force Raghunath Das Goswami to build a bhajan kutir. And what happened, I will describe. Once upon a time, Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting on the banks of the Shamakund, because his place of chanting was in this ghat, or bathing place, called the Manasapavana Ghat. And Sanatana Goswami happened to be watching him, and he saw that there were tigers around him. And he was all worried about Raghunath Das Goswami, because Raghunath Das Goswami had no shelter or no protection. But then he saw there was a very beautiful coward boy with a stick guarding Raghunath Das Goswami as he was chanting. So Sanatan Goswami chastised Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, you're not supposed to take service of Krishna or from Krishna. You're supposed to serve Krishna. So build yourself a hut. And Raghunath Das Goswami thought, no, that's too much Sanskrit. So then, a few days later, Raghunath Das Goswami was out there chanting, and it was very hot in the summer. Sun is extremely hot there in Braj. I've been in the sun in the summer in Braj, and it is intense. It's like walking into a blast furnace. You cannot imagine how hot it is. Incredibly hot. You can't go out in the middle of the day after, let's say, 8 o'clock in the morning. So anyways, he was out there chanting, and there was a young girl holding her shawl over Raghunath Das's head to give him some shade, and that young girl happened to be Radharani. And Sanatan Goswami chastised Raghunath Das Goswami and said, you cannot take service from Raghunath, from Srimati Radharani. Immediately build yourself a bhajan kutir. So he did. And that bhajan kutir is still there today, or at least the place of the bhajan kutir is still there today. Other pastimes at Radhakund or Shyamakund, where he resided, because he was the acharya of the Radhakund area, he at one point didn't want the residents of the Radhakund village to be, let's say, cleaning their clothes in Radhakund and doing all sorts of things that were not properly respectful of Radhakund. So he ordered that a well be dug. And as they were digging that well, the workers hit a stone and the stone started bleeding. That's amazing. And that night, Raghunath Das Goswami had a dream, and Krishna revealed to him that stone was the tongue of Govardhan, and that stone should be installed in a different temple, its own temple. And today you can see that stone when you do the Radhakund Parikrama. In devotees circumambulate that stone, said if you circumambulate 7 times, that's equivalent to going around Govardhan. Another thing that happened was that Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to excavate Radhakund and Shyamakund, but he didn't have any money and he didn't want to really ask anyone for money. But once upon a time, while he was thinking like that, there was a very wealthy man who went to Bhadarika Ashram, it's in the Himalayas, and he was informed by Narayan, or Srila Vyasadeva, or Narayan Rishi. There's two versions of the story. He was informed that you should give whatever money you were going to give for Bhadarika Ashram, you should give it to Raghunath Das Goswami. So he goes to Radhakund, Shyamakund area, sees Raghunath Das Goswami, and says, here's this money to excavate Radhakund. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, no, I can't accept any money. And the businessman said, this is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to accept it. Whew. So then Raghunath Das Goswami embarked on excavating the Radhakund and Shyamakund area. And while he was excavating the Shyamakund, which was made by Krishna, the Pandavas appeared to him in a dream. And the Pandavas said that we're living as trees on the banks of the Shyamakund, so please don't cut us down. And so the Shyamakund was made in a very irregular fashion as to not cut down the trees. Of course, as we mentioned previously in the Radhakund Parikrama, those trees actually have passed away. All the trees have passed away. The only remnant or any tree that's still there is actually the Bhima tree, and that tree is actually dead too. So one other story, actually there's several other stories about Raghunath Das Goswami. One day he was in meditation, and in his meditation he was participating with the Radha and Krishna, and Radharani gave him some remnants of kheer. It was like condensed milk. And he took those remnants in his meditation, and then he came back out of his meditation and he was having extreme stomach pains. extreme stomach pains, and he got looked at by an Ayurvedic physician, and Ayurvedic physicians can pretty much tell everything by taking your pulse. So he said, "You have eaten too much kheer, and your stomach is full of kheer, and it's fermented." And so Raghunath Das remembered that actually I did not take any kheer externally, but I took kheer in my meditation on Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Later on, Raghunath Das hosted Ajanava Mata, the great Lady Acharya, in our Sampradaya, and arranged for her to have a private bathing place at Radhakund. And those who go to Radhakund could see her private bathing place, and we've shown everybody that private bathing place. So Raghunath Das Goswami, in spite of being the Acharya, he never put anything in Radhakund in his name. He never wanted to sign any of the deeds or any legal conveyance. He actually had Srila Jiva Goswami do all that. And so these are the stories of Raghunath Das Goswami, who achieved the mercy of Lord Nityananda by giving Lord Nityananda a festival, or sponsoring a festival for Lord Nityananda at Panihati. And we can understand that he was not able to enter fully into Lord Chaitanya's service until he pleased Lord Nityananda. This is actually the lesson we can learn from this particular pastime. So, in that happy note, today is Panihati. And before we take questions, I just want to show you some pictures, movies, or whatever it is, of what happened. Let's see. I'm going to try to share a video with you. Give me 1 second. Of what happened during our festival today in New Goloka. Give me 1 second. I have to open it. All right. Give me 1 second.
We're here with all the devotees.
Give me a second. Okay. We are ready. Okay, I'm going to share this. Hopefully, I'll be able to share all this with you. Maybe it won't let me share. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Yep, here we go. Just a few seconds of this so you can see what you missed by not being with us today. We had an outdoor festival and I was chanting on the guitar and people were sharing prasadam and everything like that. Here we go. So we got a lot of people online. Just see what you're missing. Too bad, just trapped in your homes, your lives, uselessly striving for material attainment. Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the fear of the coronavirus? Lord Chaitanya's come to save you. Take shelter of the holy names. Okay.
Your only friend in this world. Okay.
I thought you...
I think that that's enough so there's...
Okay. I thought you all enjoy that one. So, next week, for those of you who are in New Goloka, those of you who are overseas, you should arrange your own picnics. And this, of course, if you're in a place like New Zealand, it's too cold to have a picnic. unless you happen to be an Eskimo or something like that. So, but it's nice to have the association of devotees, and everybody observed social distancing, and nobody really got hurt today. So anyway, so we're going to open it up for questions. Give me 1 second to unmute you all, so you can ask some questions. Okay, does anyone have any questions before we close for the night? Nalini Khan, do you have questions? No?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, Dandat Pranam, no good.
Hare Krishna. Looks cold there.
Yes, Gurudev.
So what question do you have?
No, Gurudev, no question.
No question, all right. Does anybody have, all right. Well, and then also we'll have Aditya Narayan Prabhu make some announcements at the end, because he's there watching us. He was also there. He had a good time. He cooked all this nice chip rice with sugar and condensed milk and yogurt, and arranged to distribute it to people who weren't able to make it. We did home deliveries. We're like Amazon now, Krishna conscious Amazon.
Gurudev, can I ask one quick question regarding Gurudev? You said we soak rice, or is it chipped rice already what we get?
It's chipped rice and he soaks it.
Okay. Overnight.
If you soak ordinary rice, it'll never get soft until you cook it. So it's chipped rice.
Is it overnight we have to soak it, or?
I don't remember. It has been too long since I was at that festival in Panihati. Okay. You know, it's 5,000 years ago. My memory doesn't go back that far. You'll have to ask some of the devotees who know about these things.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, I'm just joking. I probably wasn't at that festival. I was probably with Ravana and his army fighting against Lord Ram. So you have to ask. Some of the devotees may know exactly how to prepare it without cooking the rice. There must be a way to do it. And I'm not expert with rice. I can tell you how to make chipped quinoa. I can tell you how to do that or eat quinoa puffies, but I can't tell you how to make chipped rice. Something I never learned. So, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. It's me, Divinita Leela here.
Hare Krishna. We missed you.
I know, Gurudev. I'm missing everything.
But we sacrificed your baby yesterday, so that's all right. we gave her child the first grains yesterday. That was also on Facebook.
Just three of us, and the Govakananda.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Gurudev, my question was, like, we see that Raghunandas Goswami had to approach Nityananda first, and then Lord Nityananda accepted him.
Right.
That is not for many other devotees of Lord Chaitanya, like the other Goswamis, like Gopalbhatta Goswami never met Lord Nityananda.
Yes, so they approach Lord Nityananda through their spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is the representative of Lord Nityananda. Mm. So, you know, we may not have met Lord Nityananda in our lifetimes, but we are approaching Lord Chaitanya through our spiritual master, yes. That's the guru principle.
Okay. So basically, Raghunandas Goswami, we can consider him as a disciple of Lord Nityananda in that sense?
Well, I mean, let's say he was a Shiksha disciple. He was the disciple of Yadunandana Acharya.
Yeah.
And he directly approached Lord Nityananda.
Mm-hmm.
And by the mercy of his guru, Yadunandana Acharya, he was able to approach Lord Nityananda. I mean, we have to say that you have to have a guru to help you approach Lord Nityananda. And the guru is representing Lord Nityananda. And even if Lord Nityananda is not externally present, just by hearing his glories, we're approaching him. Wow. And I'm sure Raghunath Das Goswami also saw Gornatai deities, or at least deities of Lord Nityananda. and it was aware of Lord Nityananda before. And it was actually Lord Chaitanya. I mean, if you remember the story that I just told, that it was Lord Chaitanya that told him, because he was at, Raghunath Das Goswami was begging for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and Lord Chaitanya said, first you got to approach Lord Nityananda. So that was Lord Chaitanya's instruction. So in other words, if we first go to Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, then Krishna and Lord Chaitanya will tell us, hey, you're going the wrong way. You got to approach Lord Nityananda. And that's through Lord Nityananda's representative and through the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. The question was raised today, how do we please Lord Nityananda? How do we approach him? And the answer I gave was by giving other people Krishna consciousness. Lord Nityananda becomes very pleased. He was one of the first Sankirtan devotees sent out by Lord Chaitanya. He and Haridas Thakur. And he tolerated everything. You know, many of us have to tolerate a little bit, like someone slams a door in our face. But he tolerated these drunkards, Jagai and Madai, who basically, Madai hit him on the head with a piece of broken pot, and he was bleeding, and he tolerated that, and he begged for their mercy. So we have to become like Lord Nityananda, that if someone attacks us, we don't attack back, we beg for their mercy. We beg that they can get mercy. So that's how you approach Lord Nityananda. No enemies, just, yeah.
You can finish one. What are you saying?
That's all right?
So, Gurudev, like, Lord Chaitanya also says that, you know, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, we hear that you can get mercy of Lord Chaitanya from Lord and the other way also.
Yeah.
You know, like Mahaprabhu can give Nitai and Nitai can give Mahaprabhu. It's like...
Yes, you know. One needs both of them. Actually, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says... Whoops. I think... someone is getting ecstatic. Oh, Jai Govinda. Okay. That was a Jai Govinda. He was feeling great ecstasy. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, some people just like faint in ecstasy in the middle of my classes, you know, just it's ecstatic. So, anyways.
It is.
So, getting back to the point, Chaitanya Charitamrita says you can't have Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda. You can't have Lord Nityananda without Lord Chaitanya. So, it the description is like it's a half a hand logic. And that is in relationship to, you know, if someone wants to get the golden egg that the chicken laid, you can't cut off half of the chicken and expect golden eggs. You got to feed the chicken too. So in other words, you got to have both. Actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says if one worships Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda, it would be better for that person to be an atheist, or Lord Nityananda without Lord Chaitanya. Better to be an atheist than to neglect one out of the two. It's a pretty heavy statement. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can read that. You look it up. So we accept both, the mercy of both of them. And Raghunath Das Goswami illustrates that by first going to Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya sends him to Lord Nityananda. Okay? And
Thank you, Mr.
Gopal has a question.
Unmute yourself.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. You had said that the way to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda is to bring others to Krishna and bring others to the spiritual master. But also, we've heard Srila Prabhupada say that it's very important that a disciple acts properly, because otherwise it's an embarrassment for the spiritual master in front of Krishna.
Yes.
So does the preacher or the spiritual master ever feel some reticence or some hesitation to preach to a particular person because they see that the qualities may not be, you know, so fitting for presenting to Lord Nityananda?
No, they just send him to preach to, let me just find some funny story. They send him to the Central Park Zoo to preach to the animals. There's always a preaching venue for everybody.
Yeah.
No, I mean, everybody can come up to the standard. It's just a question of accepting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. You can come to the standard, but it requires sense control.
So when one is out preaching or speaking and sharing Krishna consciousness, if they see someone who doesn't demonstrate willingness or even ability to control one's senses, what discrimination should we use there and how we give them Krishna consciousness?
Put them in the plow department. That's what Prabhupada said. Because, you know, there's different natures. I mean, some people can be examples and preach directly, whereas other people can do other types of work. It's not that everybody, you know, just like becomes a preacher. There's work for everybody in Krishna consciousness.
But especially especially we see more and more these days, mental illness is becoming very prevalent. I mean, much more so than when we were growing up in the 70s and 80s. Now, you know, more and more you see autism and PTSD and so many grave mental illnesses that make it virtually, even physically or chemically, impossible for someone to properly function in the mission.
Or so to be president of the United States.
Okay. But we can see that that's not so conducive to positive service.
Well, we probably said that Krishna conscious movement is brain giving. So my experience is if we chant, I mean, I don't know if you heard my class about Bhakti Peter.
Yes.
So there's an example. I mean, for those of you who didn't hear that class about Bhakti Peter, I'll tell it real quickly. It was the Boston Temple. Bhakti Peter, everyone thought he was completely crazy. He would just sit and be mumbling his rounds or, you know, whatever in the corner. And really, they thought, he's really dysfunctional. And so they asked Prabhupada, can we throw him out of the temple? And Prabhupada said, no. And then a few years later, and this devotee was visiting, not Bhakti Peter, but the devotee who commented. He was visiting Los Angeles, and he saw Bhakti Peter there, you know, in the temple room. And he asked the temple president or whatever. He said, who's that? And they said, well, he's a great saint. He's translated all the books of the Goswamis. The name was Kusakratha.
Oh, Kusakratha, right.
Yeah. Who is a good friend of mine. I actually used to go in Sankirtan with Kusakratha. That's before he started translating. And he would just be chanting all day long. You know, Hare Krishna. And the interesting thing, he was just chanting all day long. And real slowly, he would take a long time to chant his rounds. I just remember him, you know, on Sankirtan, he'd be going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But the whole day, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Wow. And, phew. What he became, you know, great saint, you know, translating Vaishnav literature, expert in Sanskrit and Bengali. Amazing. I think other than Prabhupada, probably our most prolific author in ISKCON.
So what you're saying is the process works.
It works. Dinahini yatachilo haridam udurilo. It doesn't matter. I mean, it works. It's brain giving. I mean, I've seen amazing things happen. And the thing is, you could say, well, he wasn't taking drugs before. He wasn't. Mm. He was a very straight-laced person.
Huh.
So it wasn't drugs that did that to him. I knew him quite well, because he worked with me for years in Houston doing Sankirtan. He and I would go out to this mall called the Galleria Mall together to distribute books. And, you know, I was frustrated because he wouldn't distribute too many books. You know, I wasn't exactly the most empathic person. Still am not. And look what he became. It's amazing.
Thank you, Gurudev.
So, I mean, there's so many other stories. So many other stories I can tell. All right.
Great.
We want to thank. What's that?
We have time. Well, please tell.
No. No, it's too embarrassing. So anyways, too embarrassing. So anyway, let's hear from Aditya Narayan Prabhu, I think, who's still online. And you have any announcements for our congregation?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for a nice class on glories of Raghunath Das Goswami. And really nice to you explain so many different stories from his life. It's so wonderful. And also you brought over the theme of the Panihati Festival. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. I wanted to thank all the devotees who came forward to sponsor the Panihati Festival. We've got many devotees who actually came, sponsored the festival. Some of them came to a temple to receive the prasadam, and some of them went out and delivered the prasadam. So thank you, everyone, for your sponsorship. And as we have announced, I sent out the information, the temple is open now. Every day you can come, take darshan. We do require everyone to wear mask and follow the social distancing. But the temple as such is open. So every day you can come, take darshan, and Sunday also, Maharaj was talking about the day program. So we are slowly getting back to the regular schedule. So we encourage devotees to feel comfortable. Please start joining us. We miss having our entire group of devotees. So if you feel comfortable, please do join us and give us your personal association. So just wanted to mention that. And also, you know, we always mention that if you would like to make any contributions towards ISKCON New Goloka, we have a wonderful service going on. We actually, today we made 11 different types of the Panihati Chittadahi prasadam. So there are 11 different types, some sweet and some salty varieties. And we made a nice offering for the pleasure of Shri Radha Golokananda. And then we got the opportunity to serve Raghunath Das Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu, and all the Vaishnavas. So it was very wonderful. So temple nice services are going on. So if you'd like to be a part of the services, you can contribute. You can give donations through PayPal or through our website. Our PayPal link is newgoloka108@gmail.com. And the website is newgoloka.com. So there are different options if you'd like to contribute. And as I mentioned, the temple is open. So you're welcome to come and take darshan of their Lordship Shri Shri Radha Golokananda. So thank you so much.
Okay. I'm just putting that up there. newgoloka108. Wait a second. @gmail.com. Okay. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the evening, East Coast U.S. time. And as I mentioned before, that's 8 o'clock in the morning Australian time, and 10 o'clock New Zealand time for Bhagavad Gita class. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. What? You got an announcement?
No, but I just was saying Jai.
All right, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Haribol.